This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the TriDot Podcast. You can tell how all in on triathlon someone is by what percentage of their closet is taken up by training attire and race kits. No matter how many cool cycling jerseys I have, I can always add one more to the rotation if it's pretty cool and it catches my eye. And today on the podcast, we are talking with two industry leaders in the tri-suit and apparel space. Our first guest joining us today is the marketing director for Zoot Sports, our good friend, Mark Goddard. Mark is a two-time Ironman finisher and a longtime supporter of Team Zoot athletes. As a company, Zoot Sports is the leading running and triathlon sports brand, providing quality triathlon, running, and cycling apparel and wetsuits. As a community, Team Zoot was the Ironman 2022 World Champion Division I Tri Club. Welcome back to the TriDot Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Our next guest and another group that has many TriDot athletes representing this brand is Saj Jabot, a former Division I athlete turned triathlete and the visionary behind Varlo Sports. Established in 2019, Varlo has swiftly emerged as a leader in the multi-sport and cycling apparel industry, boasting a vibrant brand community, Team Varlo, and rapidly expanding retail partnerships, including REI, which is a brand new partnership for them. Really cool to see that launch. Varlo has been revolutionizing the multi-sport arena since its inception. With its distinctive designs and cutting-edge technical wear, Varlo brings a fresh perspective to athletic apparel, igniting excitement and innovation in the multi-sport community. And Saj, you are the man behind all of that. Thanks so much for coming on the show to talk about TriKits. How's it going?
Yo, what is up, man? Thanks for having me. Man, really excited to be here. Humbled to be here with you guys. Excited for this, man. Let's go.
Well, I am Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question. Settle in for our main set conversation about TriKits, and then wind things down with Vanessa interviewing a TriDot coach for our coach cooldown tip of the week. Lots of good stuff. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Sports jerseys exist to help fans and players recognize who is who while deep in the throngs of competition. And the designs of those jerseys can be everything from underwhelming to iconic. Mark, Saj, across the wide world of sports, what team or athlete jersey has your personal all-time favorite design? And I'm talking any sport, any jersey. Saj, what are you picking for this?
Whew, man, I'm going to go with, I've always been a massive, massive soccer fan. I think that In the sport of soccer in the UK, they call it football. Like how these teams express themselves, whether it's like away, home, like their kits. It's pretty cool. It's really cool. And I would probably say one of my favorites that probably sticks with me still to this day is the 2008. It's the 2008 Arsenal away kit. It was like this white on gray, like mirrored image, and it had like these hints of maroon with like gold accents, like a rust gold. And it was just, it still sticks to my mind as like just this really cool kit. Again, not in cycling, not in triathlon, but definitely a different sport, but just a kit that I don't know. It never leaves my mind. Love it.
Yeah. Arsenal always has some great designs. I'm going to jump in with mine because mine is also in the realm of soccer, and then we'll hear from Mark. But I selfishly, I am a huge Miami Dolphin fan. So I've got to give a quick plug for the Miami Dolphin kind of throwback jerseys, which is kind of the teal jersey with the orange and white like sleeves from like the 1970s. That is my favorite Dolphins jersey. I love that jersey. But my answer here, also in the realm of football, and Saj, you said it's so cool how clubs represent themselves and where they're from and their kits. And when you get to the international part of football, soccer, that's where you really start to see country identity branded into kits. And in my opinion, the hottest kit every single year when there's a World Cup season or whatever, whenever Nigeria drops their new international kits, the Nigerian national team soccer kits are the hottest in the World Cup field every single go around, female or male competition. They're always so cool. Like, I would love to rock one, but I would feel like such an imposter wearing that, right? But that's my answer here. It doesn't matter which year, which iteration. Go Google Nigerian country soccer team. They just dropped their newest one for the next round of the World Cup, and it lives up to the hype as always. So that's my answer. Mark Goddard, sending this your way. What do you think?
I'm going to go complete opposite of you guys. Okay.
Not soccer. Good. Variety.
Where, maybe it's because I grew up a Los Angeles Dodgers fan. I'm from the Los Angeles area. And I currently, my office, I'll probably get stuff thrown at me just for saying this out loud, but I'm in like San Diego Padres country right now.
Okay.
And our office is in San Diego, and there's a big rivalry. And one of the things I always knock the Padres for is like they've changed their uniforms like 8 billion times. And for some Very reason, true. The Los Angeles Dodger uniform that is just, it stayed timeless through the years. And from Brooklyn, I mean, they changed the Brooklyn Los Angeles, but from Brooklyn to LA, it's pretty much the same uniform. And I also appreciate from a branding standpoint and from a merchandising standpoint, they don't have to think about new stuff every, all the time, which I think is a huge relief for their design team, but it is a uniform that is basically just for me at least, it's just iconic, and it kind of has stood up for a long, really long time. And so that's my pick, the LA Dodgers uniform. Plus, it's baseball season that's just started, so if you're a baseball fan, let's go.
Guys, we're going to throw this question out to you, our audience, like we always do. Make sure you're a part of the I Am Tri-Dot Facebook group. Tens of thousands of triathletes talking swim, bike, and run every single day of the week. And the Monday that this show comes out with me, Mark, and Saj kicking around this question, I will kick it over to that group to see what sports jersey is your favorite design of all time. Can't wait to see what you have to say.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Triathletes and cyclists love talking about their bikes, and I, of course, am no exception. I am so impressed by the quality of my Diamond Marquee TT bike. Every detail has been carefully engineered and crafted by the team at Diamond Bikes. My Marquee, complete with a custom Tri-Dot paint scheme, sits proudly on the set of the Tri-Dot Triathlon YouTube show for our audience to see. Their bikes are industry-leading aerodynamic machines, and they look awesome. But even beyond that, Diamond as a brand knows how to take care of their athletes. And with 5 different tri-bike models, as well as road, gravel, and mountain bikes, your next bike should absolutely be a Diamond. Tri-Dot and Diamond are a dynamic race day 1-2 punch. Diamond provides you with a Ferrari of bikes, and Tri-Dot Training develops your engine. So we are excited to partner with Diamond on some really cool offers. If you are a new to Tri-Dot athlete, we're offering 6 months of the Mark Allen edition of Tri-Dot with the purchase of a Diamond bike. If you are already a Tri-Dot athlete, we are offering a Tri-Dot store credit with your new bike. Head to diamondbikes.com for all of the info and to dream up your very own Diamond bike. Every time you race a triathlon, you hopefully are wearing something. You'd better be. It's in the rule book somewhere, I think, that you're supposed to. Your first time out, it might just be whatever athletic apparel you might already own, but eventually most triathletes slip themselves into a proper tri kit of some kind for training and racing. How are those kits made? What makes some better than others? What should we be looking for in a race day kit? All of that and more with Saj and Mark from Varlo and Zoot. And Saj, I want to start with it. It's your first time on the show, so I want to start with you. You are the founder and CEO of Varlo Performance Apparel. We talked about that in the intro. You've developed a very passionate fan base amongst triathletes and cyclists. Just tell us the story here. You know, what inspired you to develop and launch Varlo in the first place?
From the very early beginning, the idea was to just understand like what is going on in the space of like triathlon multi-sport. And then most importantly, where there may have been like opportunities to bring something new to the space. I mean, the sport of triathlon, I still think is relatively like a new, it's a young sport. I used to make note of this when I would talk to people that the 3-point line in basketball is like long, is older than triathlon, you know?
The Los Angeles Dodgers current uniform is older than triathlon, right?
Right. So there's this immense opportunity, I think, to innovate and to bring something new, whether it is through apparel or it's through how you're engaging and communicating with people in the space. So that way, you not only grow the sport in the space, but you can engage something new for those potential participants in the sport. I think like from the very beginning, like I was obsessed with this. My background is in like marketing. It's in, product marketing, sales, et cetera. I've always been obsessed with like just making sure the quality is like it's 100,001%, right? It's from everything from when someone feels the product, they pull it out of the bag, they touch it, they wear it, they put it on their body. Since day one, it's like you have one chance like to get that right.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
If you mess up on that one chance, you're done. It's toast, right? And so, you know, however many years later, we still treat it the same way with product and product design and product innovation and whatever we do. I think to wrap it up and make it like just neat and nice and it's truly testing with our athletes. Like our last top performance build, which is our Pro Element Tri-Suit, you know, we actually flew Cody Beals in. We would cut product, we would moisture test product, we would weigh product. He would sit down and literally he would change the seam lines on where they were placed. Wow. Just so that way it was as perfect as we could make it, right? And I think that type of intent is just what's needed to make a product great, and to make sure that what you're putting out there, it works for athletes and the people in the space. So that's our thing, and just what we've been up to and how it's kind of worked for us.
And Mark, for you, you've come on the show before and kind of shared a little bit of your history on just Team Zoot and how you ended up working with Zoot. But I want to ask it again, because it's been a minute since you've been on the show. And for folks stepping into this conversation, I want them to hear, as the marketing director for Zoot, kind of what's your role with the brand and how did you end up on team there?
I discovered triathlon through, I have three brothers. And just like that, you know, we got roped into doing a triathlon, and it was like many other people that started this journey. It was a friend or a family member that's just like, hey, come on, let's do this. We're doing this. And like, you know, it was a mission-based sprint triathlon to San Diego, and I used my surfing wetsuit, and it was about a billion times harder than I thought it'd be. I think my heart rate felt like it was about 300 for like the whole race. And, but at the end of it, you know, it was the experience, and it was the stories, and it was like it's just how you get it now. Like post race, you're talking about that stuff, and I really just dug it, and I liked getting up early. I enjoy working out, and this is a lifestyle that allows me to kind of continue doing that. And luckily, my job, you know, I use it as an excuse to like ride my bike at lunch and stuff, because you know I have to stay like somewhat fit just in order. So like if Saj comes to town and he's like, hey Mark, let's go for a bike ride. I can't just be a total.
You can't embarrass yourself and Team Zoot. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, too late for that, but you know, I started working with the brand. It was actually at the time, Zoot Sports was, you know, I was familiar with the brand for a long time, and I had worn the products before I started working there, and I started working, for K2 Sports. And I was and one of their brands was Zoot. And I was a customer service and a dealer service manager. And it kind of just, you know, went from there. And I feel fortunate enough to be in my current role because, you know, we're a small crew here. And we kind of get to do everything. But my favorite part of my role at Zoot is, you know, dealing with Team Zoot and are pro athletes. It's like, it's almost like a childhood dream to be able to build these relationships and develop these, these different communities and friendships within the sport, which is really cool. And it goes across the brand too. So like, I know I've met really cool people that share similar passions.
Yeah. And all three of us, I know, feel very fortunate to work with endurance athletes and in the endurance space in some way, shape, or form. Let's get into talking about kits and kit design. So the first thing I want to ask you guys is kind of the hero items of our sports, right? Which I consider to be tri suits, tri shorts, tri jerseys, right? That is the, everybody's got to have one or two or a few of all those items to train and race. So when your team is designing the newest line of those core apparel items, what is the process like from conceptualization of that item to it being on our bodies for training and racing? And Saj, I'll start with you here.
You know, from our side, and especially from like my position, like, running the company CEO, like it's 30,000 foot view of like all aspects of not just like the apparel merchandising side, which is extremely, extremely important, but it's also business management elements, right? And the merchandise side is definitely a part of that. Great products equal, value drive to your consumer base, your customers, and most importantly, just to make sure you're putting things out there that represent the brand well. So there's two elements that I try to focus on with like products. The first is like the utility element of the product and like how is it built and is it adding value to like the athlete for the performance element. So prime example would be like when we were launching our gravel line and I said, I just don't want to, I don't want to just bring gravel products to market. It has to be, there has to be like a utility element that's new and that drives value. And so we specifically looked at like ergonomic placement, rider placement, average athlete riders, and then also where are they stowing product? Are they stowing product in their back, rear pockets of their jerseys, the bilateral pockets of their bibs. And we wanted to kind of bring it a little bit further. So we introduced these I call them like retro peritoneal, but anyone in the med space knows what that means. It's like where your kidneys are. But we introduced these like two rear pockets on the bibs, easy access, lower anatomy portion, easy access to the rear where you have these two pockets that are just, again, easy access for the rider. So that's one aspect of like building or designing the product. And the same thing goes with like a tri-suit where you're saying, hey, like Zoot does this really well. Like they'll say, okay, hey, we want to have ice pockets, like, in the back rear neck area, we want to have ice pockets here. It's the same kind of concept. The other concept of design, which, all the listeners are going to love, they're going to hear this, they're going to go, oh my goodness, right? Is like the artistic design part,
sure,
which yeah. is what does it look like and how fun is it? And what colors do you use? And like, how's the design done? And, I got to be honest with you, man. A lot of that is way more for us and for on this side. It's way more technical and like research driven than you would probably think. There's definitely like an element of like funness to
Interesting.
It.
Interesting. Yeah.
Hey, this is fun. Like, let's do this. Hey, this is fun. Let's do that. Like, oh, let's do these wacky colors, right? There's definitely that side to it. But there's also a side to it where the data will suggest that, this is our profile community. This is what they're looking for. They're looking for these colors, right? They're looking for this pattern. This pattern's going to do well. And then we will position and we will produce it in that likeness. Cause we understand that we know what our consumers are looking for. We know what our customers are looking for. And so we produce that with them. And then most importantly, I think everyone does this, like, the beauty of like the triathlon space, whether you're Zoot, you're Varlo, you're one of the other brands that are in this space, you listen, like you actually just listen. It's so simple, but you listen to what your community is looking for and you pay attention and you produce what they want. I think that part should not be forgotten. And then, with all that stuff summed up and kind of bottled up, we draw it out. We create like a merch plan. We kind of plug and chug where it's going to fall into the year. we build it out and then we hit the button for go and then that's it.
And then I get an email in my inbox and it shows me the newest designs and I'm like, ooh, that's really cool looking because they researched that I thought it would be really cool looking. Super interesting. Mark, is there anything in that process that's additional or different from or just that you want to add to the conversation that Team Zoot walks through to build kits?
So first and foremost, you know, the product is, you know, it's driven by function, right? So, you know, a lot of people may not know this, but there's a, you know, so the Zoot started in 1983 on the Big Island of Hawaii. That's why there's a lot of our collections and stuff that really tie into the, you know, Hawaiian aesthetic and, you know, all that jazz. But there was a girl, she was a seamstress on the island. Her name was Crystal Nyland. She still lives there today. She's a fine artist. So if you guys are in Kona, you know, go visit her art gallery. We still visit her all the time. But really what happened was she had a lot of friends racing the Ironman. And, you know, they're basically like, hey, could you sew my run singlet to my cycle bottoms? You know, no one used bibs back then. They were just shorts, right? And she's like, all right. And so she made three prototypes. We actually have the first one still here. And this is how Zoot got its name. It kind of looks like a Zoot suit. And it was a sleeveless suit. And the chamois, so you're going to like this, because the chamois was a dish towel, right?
it looks cozy
and
yeah,
you know, and really it was people that were wanting to save a few seconds or minutes in the transition, right, and from changing out, and as trends come and I've been working for Zoots for 10 years now, and even in my tenure, you know, just to see the trend of, you know, tri tank and tri bottom to sleeveless one piece to full sleeve to all this stuff, it's pretty cool to see the evolution of it, right? And you know, you know we have our suit, so you go from that to this, right? And you know, with like the seams that are all like flat lock seams and all this cool stuff with all this fabric that comes out and the you know, sometimes things don't work for the kits, right? So, you know, we use, you know, this, I think this is one of your later questions, but, you know, we do use our pros, just like Saj was talking with Cody Beals, of like, hey, we want to like create a really, really good suit. And we kind of know what works. We have a history of what works and what doesn't. And so like, you know, even our suits, they, you know, wait, like our newest suit, the P1 we've had for a couple of years with like welded seams and all this crazy stuff. And every once in a while, like, you know, it might test well, but then like, it just sucks. Like once we make it, it just, like either it's uncomfortable or,
you know, and is it like the pros getting out on the race course and reporting that back to you? Is that where you hear about that afterwards when something sucks?
Well, it starts with us. Cause you know, we're athletes too, right? So we still race, we ride every day. We run, you know, the owner is he's an avid athlete, triathlete still. And so, you know, we know what we like, and then, so it starts with us, and then, you know, we ask our team and we ask our pros, and depending on what the product is, we'll get feedback. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is there's a couple of things that like what works for a pro, and same with your like bike setup, right? So what works for a pro is not necessarily going to work for John and Jane Doe, right?
Yeah.
And you know, and everyone's different. You know, you have a different body type than I do, than Saj does, and so what may be really, really fast on someone is it may not be as fast on someone else, right? And so you try to offer as much as you can, and help the customer and the triathlete find what works for them, right? It may not be the best suit, just like in wetsuits. It's not always the most expensive wetsuit that is the best suit for you. So, and then that's where we kind of, at least with our team, we rely on our Team Zoot members, and they're so good about talking to each other and like, well, hey, I like this because of X, Y, and Z, or I like that, or this is what I use. And you could kind of find what works for you. But I think also too, like coming to suits and design and aerodynamics, and, you know, with our recent acquisition last year, our joint acquisition with the Castelli group, with having a lot more, resource to like test stuff. You know, we just sent some of our suits to the wind tunnel
Cool.
with Castelli. to test against their like super cycle suits, right? And they've got many more years of data than we do about the fabrics and all this kind of stuff. But they're just riding. I mean, these were the cycle suits, and it's only for riding a bike. Like you gotta run. You gotta run a marathon, and that is kind of the most important feedback that we get from our pros. You know, it could be fast on the bike, but you still have to run a marathon in this suit. So it's got to be, it better be comfortable on the run. And our goal, at least, is with our products, is for you to not have to think about what you're wearing on race day, right? So if someone asks you like, oh, well, how was the suit? And you, oh, I guess it was good because I didn't have any problems. Like that's a W, right? So that's a really cool thing a really cool feedback to get. So it's all fun though, but we're, you know, you're always trying to make, and then now you're like, well, I got to make something a little bit better. I got to make faster, or, you know, hey, how could I tweak this? How could I tweak that? And so, you know, sometimes you hit, you know, a home run, and sometimes you strike out, I guess.
What's that process look like for landing on, this is the fabric we're going to use, and this is the chamois we're going to use, and this is the zipper we're going to use, and all those kinds of things. Mark, what is that like for Team Zoot?
Samples. You know, most of the really good fabrics, they're coming out of Italy, right? And you know, someone has this, like, you know, I think a couple of years ago we used this sleeved fabric that it was like, oh, this is the most dimpled aerodynamic fabric. Yeah. It was called, I think they called it Drag Zero or something, and it actually wasn't that good once we started using it. And like zippers, I'll bring that one into the conversation, because even a lot of people don't know it. I mean, you know, a zipper has to hold everything in. These suits are very sure. tight, and just a caveat of trying your suit on. Like, I think most people out there are using suits that are too big. So, you know, these suits are designed, they are designed to perform when they fit properly. So a very tight suit, you know, if aerodynamics are your thing, you know, wrinkles are bad, right?
Yes.
You know, I think Jim Matten said, you know, fabric is faster than skin, but wrinkles are slower, right? So wrinkles are bad, especially when they get wet. And if you're on a, you know, your same suit that didn't chafe you at all during the 70.3 in Oceanside, you could race the 70.3 in Chattanooga, and that same suit could just destroy you. There's a lot of outside factors, you know, the salt content of the water, your sweat rate on that day. There's a lot of things that kind of factor from race to race. So, you know, if you're unsure about your size or something, ask someone. Because I see even pros, I'm like, what size is your suit? And they're like, well, I'm a large. And I'm like, what? Like, what's how much do you weigh? I'm like, dude, you're like a small. And then, you know, usually they put it on, they're like, oh yeah, that actually fits me good. So there's a lot of these little cool things that the suits have that, you know, that are advantageous that you're not thinking about, whether it's carbon in the chamois to help, you know, help it dissipate heat and water and stuff like that. But, you know, most importantly, like if you like the suit, if it's like putting on an actual suit or a really nice dress, right? If you're like, damn, I look good in that, right? If you're stoked on it, I don't care what brand it is. I don't care what the design is. If you like it, then like you're more apt to race, and you're going to be more excited on race day to like be in the suit. So that's the first thing, is you got to like the way it looks on you. And then, if it's comfortable, right? So if the suit's comfortable for you, then that's the right suit for you.
Saj, I mean, same thing over to you. Is there anything you want to add to that bit of the conversation as the Varlo crew goes and finds the fabrics and finds the zippers and finds the chamois that you want to put into a kit?
Yeah, no, like as he's talking, I'm like shaking my head and I'm laughing, because I distinctly remember, and I remember one athlete in particular, but I remember athletes being like, hey, like, you know, the zipper doesn't stay still. It just rips open. And I was like, hey, you know, you can like just hit the zipper down.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't do that.
So just like flip it down and then lock. And they're like, oh, like I didn't know that. But I think the biggest thing is sampling, and kind of like what Mark said, is that like you can have an idea or concept of like one thing in your mind that you're like, okay, this should work because of X, Y, Z, right? And then you build a kit out of it and it's like, no, that does not work. And, you know, early on, so my background, I was doing like, I was a market manager, I was a key account manager, I was, you know, doing all that stuff. So when I wanted to do Varla, I had to learn like everything top to bottom on like fabrics,
apparel,
learning all that stuff. It takes time and it's its own thing. So you almost can't shortcut that. And if you ignore that stuff, it will show. Eventually it's going to show, right?
Yeah, I bet.
I know for without a doubt, Mark can probably pick up a kit or I can pick up a kit and I can go, oh, this is made with a lot of polyester. I can tell you that this, how are the seam stitch? What kind of like thread did they use for the seams? Is it a polyester thread? Is it a nylon thread? And there's a big difference. Polyester, you're going to get chafe. Nylon's going to reduce the chafe in the thread that you use. We're talking about the thread that you use.
Wow.
For it, right? So all that stuff matters. So I think it always comes down to test, sample. Be creative, be mindful, be thoughtful, you know, kind of have this unprohibited idea of like what you can build and what should be built. There are no rules to it. There really are no rules. The only rule is that it has to bring value to the athlete. It has to bring value to the person wearing it. And that's literally the only rule. Other than that, create and build and be creative and mindful.
You know, you have to think, and anyone who's done custom with either our brands or from another brand, like they know too, they're like, it has to all work together, right? So like you may have this idea and then the designer's been like, that's been designing these suits for a really long time. They're like, well, that's going to look jacked up because of this or that, right? We have to do this. So it'll look better. But so basically sublimation is the printing of fabric. So for those of you guys who don't know, and you know, we started doing it some years ago, which was really kind of rudimentary at the time. Most people are doing just dyed. If you think of like the older kits, like this is our core race suit, right? Which is a, you know, no frills, it's solid colors, it's dyed, the fabric is actually dyed, and then we heat transfer the logo on. So this is kind of like old school. Some people really still like it. Think of like cycle shorts, right? Like that's a dyed fabric, and then the sublimation is the print. So basically you're printing on fabric, which is really cool, which really allows the companies like ours to really cool, like do really cool designs and make your vision come to life, whether it's something that you see that from our web stores or custom that you want to do, which is really cool. And some of the fabric too, like, you know, sample and test, you know, you see some of these brands and even some of the pros that, you know, they want the lightest fabric ever. And I always just tell them, shave your head. Like you're gonna gain a couple grams there.
More aero. Yeah, it's more aero. It's more sweat. It's gonna whisk sweat away having a bald head.
Sometimes you see it, and some pros, if they use a really, really thin fabric, then like the logos bleed into the fabric and it just doesn't look good. And then as you know, I'm sure Sas, when he sees that stuff too, he's like, oh, come on, man, that looks horrible. Right? Like that looks horrible for this pro kit, right? And so there is that balance, and there's only so much you could do, right? And you want it to have a little bit of durability. You know, all these paper thin fabrics and really minimal seams, you know, they pay a price, because people on race day, people are not gentle with their stuff, and they're not thinking about that till afterwards, which is pretty cool. And I'll leave it on one. You're talking about fabric testing and stuff, and sometimes you try something that doesn't work, but it could lead into something else. A few years ago, one of our pro athletes that we've had for a really long time, Ben Hoffman, he was, you know, targeting Kona. That's his race, right? That's his race. And he came close. He got second once. But, you know, one year he wanted, you know, he's like, you know, with sunscreen on, I sweat differently than without sunscreen, right? His sweat rate was different than wearing sunscreen. So, you know, he wanted a long sleeve kit for Kona. and we made him a kit. We tested it. He did all this stuff. He was in Maui earlier, and we made him a full sleeve kit for Kona. And it was out of this, I forgot the fabric name of it, AeroMax fabric or something that actually had xylitol, the same stuff that's in your mint, in your gum, woven into the fabric. And as you put water on it and wind goes by it, it actually cools, which is really cool. And it gives you sun protection. But it just wasn't this. There's just something about it that wasn't the same. It just didn't work for race day. And, you know, he still had an okay race, but it just wasn't good. But, you know, so we never made that. We never made that into a race suit, but, you know, we did trickle it down into a cycle top, which is like, it happens to be like one of my favorite cycle tops because it kind of works for all situations. So it's, you know, it is about like experimenting too in real world conditions, right?
Well, as a customer, I think it gives us a lot of confidence to know that you guys aren't just picking stuff and throwing it into a product line and kind of riding it as long as you can. You are out there and trying to innovate and trying to determine what could be the next big thing for your athletes. And along the way, you have missteps, you realize them, you then put that to the side and you fix the product. And just hearing both brands do that, I think it gives me a lot of confidence in what you do put out on the market. So just kind of educate us, when we are looking for training kits, when we're looking for that all important race kit, right? And it matters what we're putting on our bodies for race day. What should we be looking for out of our apparel? What are some signs that something is working well with our bodies, fits our body well, is made from quality components? Just kind of educate us on other than buying Zoot and Varlo, which we can certainly do. We can play it safe just by buying Zoot and Varlo. But beyond that, what are some things we could be looking for to know we're purchasing a quality kit and have a good kit for race day?
Dodge. Number one, if you're making the purchase, if you're investing your hard earned money, and I think that's, for me, again, I go back to like the simplicity of these are people that are, you know, they have a job, they work, they have kids, they have their home life, but they choose to support your brand. They choose to spend their money, their hard earned money on your brand. I believe it's a duty. It's your duty to make sure that you're delivering something great to them. So making sure that you're working with like a brand or company that understands that and receives that, are they going to take care of you if there's something wrong? Have they established that credibility as a brand to be someone that does the detailed work and the detailed research and development on products? I think that part, number one, I think that speaks volumes for any brand. And then number two, I think you guys have both already said it, which is, does it work for you? And you have to respect that something that works for, you know, participant A, B, C may not work for you. And that is okay. That is okay. That doesn't mean that something's wrong or whatever. It just means it doesn't work for you because everyone is different. Some people are tall, some people are short, some people, you know, I know us as a brand, I believe Zoot as a brand has like different tiered products. There's like the, you know, we have the Pro Element version, we have the Summit version, right? With Custom, we have the Mezza version, which is product that is tiered per athlete, depending on where they're at in their journey. Zoot has the same thing with their tiered product offering. And so that speaks to maybe an athlete that is at this part of their journey. Maybe an athlete is at this part of their journey. Or if they're a newcomer to the sport, this is where they're at. So is the product right for them and does it fit them, right? Because I think all too often we as participants, we as athletes, as triathletes, maybe we get so focused on the shiny glitz and glamour of what is cool and what is needed and like, hey, so-and-so is doing this, so I have to get this kit.
Yeah,
and,
you know, absolutely.
You walk out and you're like, that doesn't fit you. Like that's not, that maybe that's not you. Because, you know, it just, it's the build is not necessarily, you know, for you, right? But there is a product that is for you that does work for you. And so, and that's independent of Varlo. It may not be Varlo. It might be brand so-and-so.
Within the kits, is it just a budget thing where the more money you spend, the nicer the kit is, regardless of who you are, or are kind of each line of kits geared towards different types of athletes or as you kind of say it, you know, where they're at in their journey?
You're definitely paying for potentially a little bit more of the innovation in the product, but I would dare to say for the athlete that is you know, looking for the benefits that are going to come with that, those are probably the individuals that are measuring, you know, minutes. They are measuring, you know, their, you know, wattage. They're measuring all of those elements of the performance of that product. And if you're a newcomer to the sport and this is your first race and this is your, you're new to the journey and you're still kind of getting, you're starting to learn stuff. You're trying to figure it out. Like, you know what, you don't need to go out and buy that product because that's not, that necessarily is not for you. You can still buy a product that offers great benefits, four-way stretch. It may still have some of the hydrophobic properties of like a great kit so that you can move great in the water and all those things. But you necessarily don't need woven fabric. You don't need like seamless integrated grippers, right? Because for where you're at in your journey, it's not going to make a difference necessarily on what your performance is going to be because it's still new to you, right? So I don't know if that answers your question. And I hope that helps, you know, maybe some of the viewers out there that are still probably trying to figure out, hey, I'm new to this sport. I'm trying to navigate. Or
yeah. Do I need that $400 kit? Yeah.
And depending on where you're at in your journey, maybe you are at that place where you have that A race coming up and, you know, you're a seasoned athlete in the space. And that kit is probably going to assist with your performance. And that stuff is seen, I know with like a wetsuit and, you know, Mark can speak on this definitely up and down, left and right with wetsuits, but you kind of hit the nail on the head where, you know, those ultra high halo product wetsuits are made for athletes who are at that pro level, who have that professional swim form. They have a really, really strong swim background where, you know, do they need a wetsuit? I don't know. Maybe arguably, right? But maybe are because they're that good. They're that good, right? But you know, from a performance element, it may help. It may definitely help. So,
I mean, the answer is you don't really like, do we need anything? Not really. Right. Like my friend, you know, this is the wrong thing to say to try to,
do we need product, any of the stuff that we want? We don't need it.
Fun. Sometimes it's just fun to buy cool stuff and it makes you feel good. It makes you think you're going to ride faster, run faster, swim faster. You know, the two full Ironmans that I've done in my past, it was in like the basic suit before, you know, so, and it was fine. And, I finished and I was happy, but you know, I back to what Saj was saying, like, I urge, you know, everyone's different, right? We actually came out, and this was a big help to shout out to Amy on Team Zoot in our Colorado region. But, you know, a big thing that we did this year was, you know, we start a lot of stuff with Team Zoot and we kind of roll it to our inline is making a different size chart, a different size for bigger female athletes specifically, because, you know, it, you know, as you're bigger, sometimes you don't proportionally, you can't just grade it big, right? You have to make a whole new size. And we had a lot of feedback for them and we created our new Athena sizing for one piece race suits, which people are really, really stoked on, but it may not work for everyone. Right. So, and our stuff may not work for everyone. Heck, all this stuff, like everything we make, it doesn't all work for me. Right. And, you know, I urge everyone to, and I'm just going to use the Varlo example because Saj is here with me. But like if you're on Team Zoot and, you know, yeah, sorry, shell out and pay retail, but like go to Varlo. And if you're in the market for something, like test out another brand because you might like it. Right. So, and you might not like everything, but you might like their run bra better than ours. Right. Or whatever. Right. And it's okay. People don't really need to, you know, be so dogmatic in their triathlon brands. And, you know, like it's really cool to see different people, you know, wearing different stuff and trying different things, and it might work for you. And if anyone that's listening to this podcast, I don't know if it's okay to do this, Andrew, but I want to urge them to, if they haven't tried anything that's from our offerings, if you guys want, you know, I've set up a code for everyone that's listening to this or does listen to this. If they can save 30% off just by trying something. If they want to use code TDOT, all caps, so TDOT, you could put that in the show notes.
Not be more simple. Yeah, could not be more simple. TDOT.
Yeah, and just to try it, right? Because, you know, and if you don't like it, you know, hey, we have a really great return policy. Send it back and we'll take care of you. But I do urge you to try different stuff. I urge everyone that's dogmatic Zoot to at least sign up for the Varlo email address or email subscription, and maybe they send a design out that you like. So.
I wanted to ask you guys two quick questions, and this one we'll be quick about, and then I want to give you the chance to talk about Team Zoot and Team Varlo. So very quick answer on this one. How do you guys feel on the age-old question of which is better, two-piece race kit or one-piece race kit? Mark, what do you think?
One-piece, 100%.
Okay, Mark is a one-piece guy. Saj, what do you think?
For me, I'm a one-piece person.
Okay, I'm also a one-piece person. So we are overruling anybody listening that has an affinity for two pieces. So last question again. One thing I love about working for TriDot is athletes can train with TriDot and can absolutely wear a TriDot hat or something at the races, but then they can be on Team Varlo. They can be on their local tri club. They can be on Team Zoot. And we just love that we get to collaborate with other brands because of that. You know, we meet other brands because of that. We get guys like you guys on our podcast because of that. Shout out to all of our TriDotters listening who are Team Varlo or Team Zoot. Just kind of shut down our episode with this today. You know, just tell us what your community of athletes means to you. Because I know you guys go hard in supporting your own athlete community. And tell us what role your athlete community plays in the development, advancement, testing of your brand's products. And we'll start with Saj here and close down with Mark.
Like every time that we get a moment to talk as a community, we start with like three simple principles of who we are as a group, as a team, as a collective body of human beings. Number one is that empowerment's the cornerstone of our community. Number two is that alone we go fast, but together we go further. And, you know, the third one is that, you know, together we can do anything. We can achieve anything as a collective group. That is truly who we are as a group and who we are as a body. Right now, and this has been this way since conception, our team is the heartbeat of who we are as an organization. It's who we are as a brand. And it's also what drives me to do what I do every single day, every morning, every night, the long nights, the long, you know, the nights that turns into days, the weekdays that turn into weekends. It's for supporting our community. And then most importantly, as a brand, as we continue to develop new products, as we continue to touch on new things, how we can drive value, it's all stemming from our brand community, Team Varlo, which has grown from, you know, an ambassadorship program once upon a time to the collective body of people that it is now, whether it's domestic or internationally. And so as we continue to grow, as we continue to do what we do as a brand and as a community, our simple thing is this, and we will never ask anyone on our team to, we won't say, hey, go on Instagram and make a funny dance TikTok video or go, you know, we don't say that. It's not the criteria. Our criteria as far as a brand community is, it's very, very simple, and it's easily set on the calls, the team engagements that we have as a group. It's to look to the person that's on your left of the screen, look to the person that's on your right, and to empower them, to be with them. Because again, together we go further. We will accomplish amazing things as a group. So for everyone that's listening, you know, they know this because I get to speak with them, or Colleen, our team director, but I tell everyone, thank you. Thank you for what we have done as a community, because again, this is the founder, right? And so for where we are right now as a community, we are simply where we are right now because the people who believe in what we do, the people who listen, who hear us, but most importantly, they say, how can I help? How can I be involved? What can I do to make sure that I'm empowering the next person that comes into the sport? And most importantly, how can I help grow the sport? That is the big thing, right? So that's what I'll say. So anyone that is listening, you know, that Team Varlo, thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you, Andrew at TriDot. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
I get so protective of Team Zoot, and you know, it's like reading comments on anything. People are going to hate on it, or, you know, unless you're part of it. Right.
Sure.
You know, it started as a,
We get that at TriDot. Yeah.
It started as an elite team of athletes. Right. And it was pretty small for a really long time, but you know, we really kind of like just being racers, you know, myself and the owner, Sean in particular, you know, being out on course and still racing the events. And, you know, we're like, it's so cool. This was years ago, just, you know, people like go Team Zoot, right? Like this was, I don't know, 2013, maybe 2012. And, you know, that was like, man, that's so cool. And then we're just like, you know what, let's just like ramp it up. Right. Like let's like, even this, if it's only for the support on race day, you know, if that is ramped up, if that's all we get out of it, it's worth it. Right. And it's really grown to this really cool community that people support. They like, hey, I'm coming out of, you know, I'm in town from Texas. You know, does anyone have any good routes, or they want to ride on Saturday? Like just all that really small stuff that kind of connects people. And my favorite part, you know, one of my favorite parts of the job is just, you know, the people I've met through this ambassador team, whether it's just on Instagram or, you know, in real life. And I, you know, we do have a fairly large team around the country, and it's hard to, you know, I'm really bad with names, like just horrible with names. But you know, you meet so, you know, you're working an expo, you're helping customers, you're meeting like 8 billion people, but like, I love when people stop by and they're like, hey, Mark, like what's going on? How's it going? And then, you know, we become friends, or maybe it's the reverse. I they started following me on Instagram. We follow each other. Then like I meet him at a race and it's just like, oh dude, what's up?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh yeah,
it's,
I love it.
It's my favorite part of the job. And, you know, kind of like Saj with Varla, like we don't have requirements. And when we started this ambassador team, you know, people have these tri teams going on, and you know, it's like, oh well, you know, they're just all gnarly and serious, and you've got to like fill out an application and you've got to do all this stuff, and it costs like money to join. And I was just like, dude, screw that. Like that's lame. You know, like no money to join will get you like killer discounts on all of our gear and partner gear. And which is really cool, because you know, we own our own factory, so we could give our team a really, really steep discount, which is awesome. And then you know, be cool. That's it. There's two things that you have to be: be cool, and introduce triathlon to someone else, whether it's a coworker or you know, someone, you know, a family member, and you're like, hey, let's go for one run this year. Maybe you could ignite something in them to take up this sport that we all love and we're super passionate about. So those are the only two requirements to be on Team Zoot. And so when I see people out in the wild, and I'll just leave with this example, any of like my Team Zooters that follow me on Instagram, for instance, you know, they know I just got a dog, you know, a couple months ago. You'll find this out, Andrew. Your kids are like,
yeah,
you know, hey, we can't be without a dog, right? So we got a dog, and she's awesome, and she's got more energy than anything I've ever seen. And so it's really kind of gotten me back into running. And so I was running in my neighborhood. This is, you know, I live in a little community called Dana Point in Southern California. I'm running down the street and I have my Team Zoot shirt on. And across the street, there is a guy just walking his dog in like work clothes. And he's like, hey, Team Zoot, you know, and he's like, I'm on the team. And I was just, and he had his dog. I was on a high for the rest of the day. It was so cool. And whenever, like if I'm driving down the street and I see someone riding, I'm like honking on the horn. I'm like, what up? It's just, it's really cool to kind of have those little connections. Cause at the end of the day, like, no one cares. Like no one cares what your Kona time was. No one cares what your rate, like no one, like,
that's
cool.
So true.
Like yeah. Cool. You did like sub 10 at whatever Ironman. That's awesome. That I'm not downing it, but like, that's not what I want to hear. Like, I want to hear about like, how'd you get there and what are you doing? And, you know, just the other stuff. And the triathlon is just kind of, it just makes us come together a little bit easier.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
Hello, everyone. I'm Vanessa. Atsa, your average triathlete with elite level enthusiasm, and I am super excited about the Coach Cooldown tip that we have for you today. With me is Chad Rolfs, who has a career as a senior quality engineer on the Photoshop team with Adobe and focuses on customer digital painting and usability workflows. He has been married for 21 years and lives in Shoreline, just north of Seattle, with his wife, two sons, and his adorable corgi named Cheeto. Chad was a Div 1 All-American swimmer in college and was recently inducted into the Washington State Swimming Hall of Fame. Congratulations on that, Chad. That is a massive accomplishment. And on the triathlon side of things, he has completed multiple Olympic distance triathlons and 70.3s, including Worlds in 2021. And he's currently training for his second full distance try. Chad has been coaching with TriDot for over a year and is a certified TriDot pool school instructor. He loves coaching beginners and intermediates and works mainly with long course athletes, all while specializing in swimming. Welcome to the Cooldown, Chad. It's great to have you here.
It is great to be here. It's such a blessing. Thanks, Vanessa.
I hear that you used to collect die-cast cars from the Pixar movie Cars. So first of all, please enlighten me as to what a die-cast car is and then how you came to collect them.
Oh, yeah. My inner child is alive and well. The die-cast car, they're basically Hot Wheels cars, that Mattel makes. But they're the Pixar movie branded cars. You know, they have the eyes on them and everything. And when both of my boys were little, we would watch the Pixar movies, and that was one of their favorite movies. And I even have some video of them riding their bikes with training wheels on in the driveway with, and one of them was Chick Hicks and the other one was Lightning McQueen, and they're like, ka-chinga, ka-chinga, yeah. And just having a good time. And so for birthdays and Christmas, they wanted those cars. They wanted the characters. And so, they started getting them. And I was like, they had so many, characters. Like, it was like, I don't remember all those characters in the movie, but it's like, you look at like all the races and all the like in the pit and like all over, like even helicopters right. And stuff. And so I started buying them, and I still have boxes of them in, still shrink wrapped in boxes in the garage. So, it was just one of those, like, I just love the design, the creativeness, the artisticness of it, the unique, and it's this is fun.
Yeah. Something that I do love about having kids is it kind of allows you to tap into your inner child a little bit more, and it brings out those things that you love, and it's like, well, this is acceptable because I have a child. I can dance to music in the supermarket because I have a child who I'm trying to entertain.
Totally agree. Yes. Yeah. Like I said, it's important to get in touch with your inner child. And kids definitely give you an excuse and some extra leeway.
Well, let's totally change gears here. And I want to hear about this tip. I'm really excited to hear about it because I know it's a swim tip. And you're probably one of the fastest swimmers that I know. So could you please share with us this swim tip and help us shave off some seconds in the water?
The more relaxed and comfortable you are, the faster you're going to swim. And so, being tense wastes energy and it decreases your range of motion. And one thing that can have you get tensed up is having your goggles fog up. I know a lot of people struggle with that, or they buy, other products to help reduce that fogging. And I've never found something that worked. So the tip I have is, and you've heard Coach Rains and others talk about, before you get in the water, before you have your wetsuit, have a bottle of water and pour water down your wetsuit. Take some of that water and put it in your goggles and have just a little bit of water in your goggles. They won't ever fog up because in the course of you breathing and moving your head, it is always washing the fog off if there is any. So you don't ever have it. This is the first swim tip I have.
That's a really good tip. So make sure that you don't have foggy goggles because the ultimate goal is to stay relaxed and smooth in the water.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about that. You can just go. You don't have to worry about your vision being occluded. Mm-hmm. You can just relax and swim. keep your stroke technique mm-hmm. in line and not have to worry
and
about
you
it.
Know I find that the foggy goggles is a huge problem in open water because there's so much mm-hmm. like there's so much less visibility in open water than there is in a pool. And so it's just that extra little bit of tension that you're going to have. You're like, I can't see anything anyways. And then it's just, you know, that little bit of anxiety that could make you tense up in other places in your body. So that's definitely a good tip. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something you can practice in the pool too. Like, you know, you're in a workout and, you know, just put a little water in there and then just leave, you know, don't take your goggles off for your whole hour of swimming.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. That's fun. And so you said you also had a half tip because we're doing like 1.5 tips today.
Sure.
So
bonus tip. Okay. Sure. So this only really kind of applies to pool swimming. So when you push off the wall, that's your fastest momentum is coming off the wall. The tip I have is to not breathe that first stroke. Because when you come off the wall, you have that momentum, take a stroke first or two strokes before you breathe. Because as soon as you take a breath, that can tend to take your body out of position and immediately slow you down. So you want to keep that momentum going as long as you can and maintain that. And the best way to do that is coming off the wall in a good streamline, taking a few strokes, then breathing. It's hard because especially if you're doing flip turns and you're like, you know, blowing your air out as you're doing the flip turn and as you're coming off the wall, you're like, I'm out of air.
Right.
But if you can discipline yourself to do that, it'll help your lung capacity, but also increase your speed for, you know, over the course of every wall that you're pushing off of.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.